This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Any festival that requires its participants, artists who are performing in a festival, to source their own support to perform, collaborate, exchange and share ideas must be a festival that swims against the current. Artists, by their very profession, do not belong to a well-financed or well-remunerated line of work. So to curate and to offer such a festival to the public for 9 years is a feat to be commended. The Melaka Arts and Performance Festival is 9 years old, and the man behind this is Tony Yap, who is the creative director. Welcome.
Thank you, Sun Heng.
And the last time you were here on air, not on Front Row, but was on Evening Edition, it was in 2013. Then you talked a bit about the past, and it was 2012. How have things changed since 2013?
The festival has evolved in its own life, in the sense that we made plans, but the plans now evolve because of what we can recognize as a kind of a life of its own. And that is driven by the artists themselves.
So the best laid plans of mice and men don't come true.
And also we have these connections with other countries that came to life, like Indonesia, Thailand and India and Australia. Having this kind of a model in their own way, coming up by the artists, from the artists, in a site-specific situation, which we were quite new to. And of course, Melaka is one of the most special compared to the others. Nonetheless, since then, we have learned quite a lot, especially on how to support it.
After 9 years, how would you characterize this festival? What makes it different from other festivals? There's the Georgetown Festival, there's the JB Festival. I think there are folks trying to start something in Seremban. And of course, KL with its different festivals. One is Diversity KL International Arts Festival. How would you characterize the one that you have in Melaka?
Well, you know, if I think of three things, I would think about the spirit of what drives the festival, and that's linked to the artists and the site. The site, we couldn't underestimate it. Every time we try to do something outside of the place, it just seems so wrong and the artists are not so interested. To give you a context, we have people like from shamans from Java, right, to people from New York. So we have a very postmodern contemporary context to a very tribal, also cultural area of Asia. And this is what makes it exciting. You know, it is young people from hip-hop to people from the ballet. And it is not so much like a mixing pot, but it actually is like the barriers are dissolving of traditional, contemporary, Eastern, Western, young, old, established, and genres. And so the multidisciplinary area has taken a new form of meaning for me in the sense of looking at what this festival has evolved to. Yeah.
If that's the case, then what has happened to what's considered the traditional genres? You have like dance as a genre, and then of course within dance itself you have your very classical ballet to your contemporary dance, and then within the performance space you have traditional theater where you have a stage and actors going through action scenes and with an intermission, and then you have your more modern ones where you have site-specific performances. What do you think is happening in terms of what you are trying to do and what seems to be like a collapsing of genres? So what happens to the traditional?
What's happening is that individuals and independent artists are given a voice, and their diversity in voice is actually emphasized instead of saying, you conform, we're looking at your performance, what drives you. And this is powerful. This is powerful. You see, our festival is for independent artists. So this is already one thing that actually defines it.
What does that mean to be an independent artist?
Well, if you belong to a company, a dance company or even Shakespeare company, then you have to conform to that. And you belong to a whole whole genre.
Sense of tradition.
That's right.
Spoken or unspoken.
But the independent artists can do anything they like. You know, so the thing that drives them is to actually, what is the best way for me to express what I want to say, what I feel, without having to have learned a whole different form. Although a lot of them have forms, they don't want to hang on to the form. Like, say, one of the dancers there is Alexei, who's from the Bolshoi Ballet, and he was disillusioned by the whole driven forms by the big companies. And so he comes here, and now he lives in Bali, you know, and just have a child. But the whole thing that drives this artist is very independent. And I think these voices have been coming out in all different areas, and this is what I find very interesting. Very unique voices. I think at some time, you find directors picking up this and putting into their production, and it becomes a big show, and it's marketed, and then it becomes a commodity. But for the independent artist, it's counter that, you know.
Are you saying then the independent artist is one that comes from a particular tradition, but then is turning his or her back on that tradition and evolving something that is different?
Turning back is an interesting thing to look at. Maybe it is turning towards what is true to them. Because tradition in this 21st century, especially with the younger generation, is so unclear. You know, you can say I'm Chinese, but I was born in Malacca, you know, in the 50s. So it's more specific. You know, you meet somebody who looks like they could come from Delhi, but they're born in London. So the whole situation has changed. And I think what's interesting for me as a Malaysian, also as a non-Western, is the whole wave of how a new voice is coming from Asia into the whole contemporary context.
How would you characterize this new voice?
It's independent. It is, I think independent means something truer in the sense of individual uniqueness. You know, it's such a cliche to say, you know, to be unique, but to redefine it, to actually find, to know, and what is allowable is actually a whole complex of things, like being judged, self-judgment, expectations. And when all those are removed, then you find what your true nature or ability is. And this is very important in the sense of what's happening. Also, I think parents now have encouraged their children to be freer in their expressions than as in my generation anyway. And so the conforming to certain things are more structurally defined to give them some support, but how within the support to give them also true freedom for creativity.
Sounds like this is more of a process than a product. It's more a journey than any kind of destination, which means it is always evolving and it could be at times anything goes.
Absolutely. And that's what we like about the surprises and afraid of, because you can't control the surprises and it's a headache. But at the same time, you cannot compare the wealth of what's happening. For instance, death, you know, and then you have the theme of death and you change something instantly, like one of the artists just died at one of the years, 2013 or something. And we had to change, not had to, we just changed the whole concept of eulogy for the living, which is one of our program, and we've used that from the beginning, and suddenly the whole idea of eulogy changed, and it was powerful from all different contexts, you know, from the shamans, from Java, right to,
I'm speaking with Tony Yap, the artistic director of the Malacca Arts and Performance Festival, which is 9 years old. We've been talking about the festival and how it has grown. Coming up, we'll find out how much does the festival reflect the practices of Tony Yap himself. This is Front Row on the Big Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, speaking with Tony Yap, the Artistic Director of the Malacca Arts and Performance Festival 2017. The festival has started, but starting Friday, tomorrow, and it will run the whole weekend with all kinds of performances. How much of the festival is in some ways a manifestation or an extension of your own practice within your company? Although you said something about the artists that you have invited do not belong to a company or your collective.
Yeah.
How much of the festival is an extension of how you see performances?
Oh, that's a good question. I cannot see any separation. Except, you know, I mean, when I went to Australia in 76, my idea was to find a way of making a living. You know, so it's either I do architecture, but I end up doing fine arts by some clerical mistake. But anyway, it ended up to be a very good introduction to the whole world. And then from there, I did performance art. And then the Italian company asked me to join a physical theatre, which I did for 5 years and travelled Europe, etc. But then it wasn't a plan, you know, a career. The career had a plan, and they're mostly for practical bread and butter reasons, but after a certain level, one has to go beyond that as an artist. And I find that I evolve with a changing world in some ways, but specifically, I come from Malacca, and I live in Australia, and we are not so much minority, but there are many minorities like me, similar voices from any parts of the world. And it's not so much who I am, but what's happening to us in this diaspora of the century. And that's what defines the festival and me. So that's the link. We started the festival with clear visions and ideas, and now we changed it, not because we feel to accommodate, but to make it practical. At the same time, some life has taken its own. It's stronger than us. And I feel that, I don't know how to handle this. I think it's the evolution. Evolution has a connotation that it evolved towards something. But sometimes I think it is the opposite direction. It's like becoming something that you're meant to. So it's a bit like, I don't know, maybe a Buddhist philosophy of undoing, you know.
Interestingly that you brought this thing about Buddhist philosophy. Well, looking at the performers that you have, it seems to me quite clearly which categories they belong to. Definitely they don't come from the traditional theatre in the sense of, like we have said earlier, you have actors who go through act one, scene one, act two, scene two, and go through the whole thing. But most of the performers are either folks who are involved in movement or in dance, or who are marrying performance with visual art, so they are performance artists.
Yes.
There is nothing that says here's a stage production, and most of your sites are, as far as performances are concerned, outside,
yes,
in the open.
Mm-hmm. When I was introduced in physical theatre, in Grotowski style, I mean, he learned a lot of the concept and ideas from the East, which is from us. And this is like another level of looking at what theatre has been. But in some ways, art and performance has always been from communities. Building the stage has been questioned in the last few, I don't know, stages of about whether it is still, you know, too restrictive. And the changes of the Plissinium stage, etc., the passivity of the spectators, all this has been questioned in the last since the 50s onwards. And the question is where it has evolved now is not so much, I don't know, I'm just looking at it, and I think that how far we are from the audience matters if you want to say something subtle. But if I have to always perform in a stage where the audience are far away, then I have to change my performance, you know. And so now we have this place in Malacca that's site-specific, that has a lot of little corners. It's outdoors. And there are a few intimate places like Heron Street, an old restored Dutch house. And it has that intimacy. And you find even cafes and stuff are not the usual cafes. And so some places lend itself for certain visual art and then performance. But performance and visual arts itself, the multidisciplinary area, has already evolved greatly. You know, Marina Abramovich, you know, in her performances, have already taken over a lot. And Melaka Festival gives people with such drive for challenges the perfect platform. Domenico Di Claro is one of the performer here. He's in his 70s. He's performed everywhere. He's got work collected in the galleries, big galleries in New York, etc. But now you see him doing something in Melaka, and I'm a friend of his. I've seen how we work together and how his approach is like a child, like a simplicity. So when a lot of this artists work, they don't think of genres, they don't think of stages, they just look how they relate to the audience, how their work changed in a particular site. The challenge of a site in a site specificity is fantastic for performance, for artists. In fact, it is almost like a catalyst for creativity, like saying, like, you know, this is all I have. And at the end, wow.
Yeah. Does that suggest then that Melaka Festival cannot be like any festival where in a way I can have a performance here, then I take it to another place, because you are using a very specific place like your St. Paul's Church area?
Yep, a few years and many years we're thinking about, we have thought about the ticketing type, you know, whether we have a auditorium, etc. And then why, you know, it's already covered by everywhere in Kuala Lumpur. It is not the area that this energy is for. And so we changed. I mean, next year is the 10th year. I'm thinking how this medium area, the middle place can take place. I think we could learn a lot from the Asian country, like Indonesia, how they have open spaces like the Javanese Bedoyo. They dance, it's like a theatre piece. But the moment they go from the palace to the village, the dance hasn't changed, but a whole context changes. So it's been there for centuries, and it's also contemporary. We have looking at it in contemporary context because it still has meaning to the contemporary viewer, not as an exotic piece of work, but something they relate to. We'll keep that. Yes and no to the question, if I have a beautiful auditorium, I think we could use it too.
The performances will change?
The performances are always changing, you know. Performance changing. I mean, even ballet are not happy with how they go, and they're looking at some great dance companies like, you know, Baksheva in Israel and stuff like that. They're learning from us. They say how to put this trance element when people fall into trance, and they're so far behind. Here people are dropping into trance everywhere. And so the context is why they do it and how they get into it. And not just because it's different. We want to take a little bit of that and put into like Cho-Cho-San, or, you know, like how we have been used from the Western perspective.
Very superficial way.
Because
understanding the tradition or understanding the impetus and impulses behind
exactly.
it.
So now you have a whole young generation or young at heart generation who's learning trance, and we're trying to look at trance, because this is actually my baby, because my PhD is about trance in Asia. And it is exactly how we have understood them in a cultural context that actually separates us from them. But now we actually say it's no different from what who we are as human beings. So, and what's have been powerful in different theatres and what's lacking in a lot of theatres now.
How many performers are going to be at this festival? How many different kinds of shows do you have, for a lack of a better word?
How many have we got? We got about 50 to 65 artists. Yeah, because some comes in little groups and they're all independent. So every one of them really have a platform. There are about 5 platforms, I think, short works and site-specific mapping. And we have a collaboration pod where we put artists together and in a snappy way come up with something. And then we have a performance where everybody do something together. And because it's so huge in audience and artist size, we have now used the whole hill as a performance site, and the artists and spectators move around.
So I also noticed you have a yoga session that begins in the morning, and it's, I guess, an open session too, which seems to suggest that here is a festival which, at least not a festival that most of us understand in terms of, okay, we buy a festival pass, then we go from one side to another side seeing performances.
Is this really a perfect way for anybody to experience Melaka and the hill? You know, you go there in the morning, 6 o'clock, you see a whole group of people doing Tai Chi and dances and things. And yoga is not very common, but people are very interested in it. And of course, there are a lot of artists practice some sort of yoga. And yoga is a nice stretch, centering. It just happens that we have yoga, but we have other little workshops as well, yeah.
Do you have a theme for this year?
The underlying theme has always been transformation. And we've always say it's like it traces of transformation.
And of course, with the word trans inside it.
Yes. You know, somebody was just jokingly told me that, you know, theatre and dance is trans. And in some ways, yes, I don't want to use the word so much because it has got me into trouble in the sense that people have specific connotations of trans. You know, once I put that in my CV or performance and somebody just said, no trans here. And so now I just try to use other words people naturally do, like daydream.
Psychophysical performances.
Psychophysicality, yeah. Well, it's not a new term. It is, you know, it's a term that I think came in the Salinaski theatre area where they said the actor is not just a speaking piece anymore of a text for written, for literary form, where the performer have to embody what they act. And that's linked to what psych come from, the word psych, which means a soul. So it is, you know, it is linking.
And that's why Plato wants to exile all poets, because they are not themselves.
Yes.
The Melaka Arts and Performance Festival 2017 starts Friday, November 24th and runs the weekend till Sunday, November 26th. Performances and exhibitions are held in 9 different spaces. I don't want to call them venues or anyway, 9 different spaces, from spaces around St. Paul's Church to Our Famosa to Sacred Heart Convent, Wayfarer Guest House, Baboon House and 8 Harian Street. Many of the art exhibitions and installations are already up and running. Best you go to MelakaFestival.com to get details of all events and offerings. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.